Well, so glad you all are here tonight. You know, I was just reminded during that song. I mean, isn't it so weird that we even need to be reminded of this? But sometimes you just do. You know, even in our sadness, even in our grief, even in anger, disappointment, frustration, we have a conscious choice to make to praise our God, right? Great is our God. Even when we don't feel like praising him, even though we may not feel like worshiping him, we have the choice to praise him anyway. And it may not look the same as it looks on Sunday morning. It may not look the same as us blaring our favorite songs, going down the highway with the windows rolled down, 65 degrees and 85 mile an hour. No, I'm sorry. you know, my wife doesn't like music as loud as I do, or the windows down like I do when it's nice temperatures. And so I praise a little differently when I'm praising that way versus, and sometimes just saying the words is a choice to praise God. And so nothing's wrong. I'm not sad. I'm not depressed, nothing like that. But I was just reminded of that during that song. And so sometimes we just have to open our mouth and whatever comes out is praise to the Lord. Whether it's at 5 decibels or 50 or 500. I'm not sure we can get to 500 with our human voice, but we can try. There you go, Becky. That's good. Well, so this is, I'm just going to give you a little, I was going to say this later in the message. This is the next to the last message in the Behold series. So next week will be the last Behold series sermon teaching. And so tonight and next week especially, but even tonight, I really kind of want to bring some things together, especially some of the things I've talked to you about as far as spiritual practices and how we can look at those in a holistic way, how we can look at those in a way that will inform our spiritual growth and our spiritual formation growing forward, or going forward, well, growing forward also. So I guess that wasn't a faux pas. And so I believe that when we experiment with spiritual practices, which is what I hope you've been doing with the guides that we've been passing out and the things I've been talking about a little bit, is that you get a glimpse of some things. I did turn the air conditioners down, by the way, because it's a little humid in here. So so I did turn them down right before I came up, just so you know. You know, I think it's important for us to be aware of the way God's moving, because what may be speaking to us right now or last week or 2 months ago may not speak to us in another 2 months or in 2 years. And so God has us on a journey. So sometimes we don't feel like we're doing things right because the things I did last year don't feed me and nourish me the way they do. The things I do now doesn't feed me the way they did a year ago or 6 months ago or 3 years ago, whatever. And so sometimes we can think it will, we're doing something wrong. We're not doing it right, or we're doing it differently than we used to do it. So why is that? Why is it not making a difference? Why am I not feeling it in my spirit and in my emotions? Again, it goes back to a choice of continuing to do the things that bring us close to God, even when we don't feel like it. So sometimes emotions are liars. We know that, right? Sometimes emotions lie to us, and we still have to make the choice to do the things that we know will bring us closer to God, even when we don't feel the emotional impact that we used to feel. But sometimes it might be just God speaking to us and say, what's next on your journey? What's next on your, in your practice of seeking me? And we tend, and I say we as humans, but we as the body of Christ, but we also as churches, have been guilty in the past of preaching three things. And I may have said this, I probably have, of preaching, attend church on Sunday, pray and read the Bible, and you're doing it all right. But we know that's not necessarily true. Now, we need to be doing all those things. We should be in community coming to church. We should be reading our Bible, getting into the Word of God. We need to be doing that and base everything we do off of the Word of God. And we need to be praying. But as we've talked about, prayer is not simply, none of these things are just a life of its own. None of these things, prayer is not me just saying something to God or just listening to God. It could be taking a walk in nature. It could be many other things. And so we have tended to lock ourselves into, if I go to church on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, you guys are the super spiritual people because you're on Wednesday night midweek. And if I pray, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say super spiritual. I meant to say y'all are really close to God. That's what I meant to say. Then we're doing the right things. And so then when we feel bad or we feel down or we feel emotional or we feel frustrated or angry, then we start feeling shame and guilt because I'm doing all the right things, God. Why am I not good enough? Why am I not, this is not even in my message, sorry. Why am I not feeling close to you? In fact, why am I feeling like you're getting further away from me? Because that happens. And so it's important, I didn't even realize it, but it's important when we enter those stages of our journey that we fall back on a routine that we know God has placed in our life. The things that God has shown us works in drawing us closer to him. And so when you think of routines or rituals, what do you think of? And what are some routines throughout our day? When I think of routines, I have a planner called Full Focus Planner, and it's a quarterly planner, but it is big about having a morning routine, those things you do first thing when you first wake up. It's also big about a workday startup routine. So when you first get to work, these are the things I'm going to do to prep me for my day. A workday shutdown routine. These are the things I'm going to do the last 15, 20, 30 minutes of every workday so that I'm fully prepared going into the next workday. And then there's this evening routine or nighttime routine, the things I do right before bed, right? When we get up in the morning, we get up, we make our beds some of the time, most of the time, thanks to my wife. Of course, we go to the bathroom, we turn on the coffee pot or the water kettle and heat our stuff up. We get our coffee. If dishes are done and they need to be put back in the cabinets, we might do that while the coffee's brewing, and then we set and we have coffee. This is Rebecca and I, at least. This is our routine, by the way, almost to a T. And so we sit and we have coffee and we talk for 15, 20, 30 minutes. And then we pick up our Bible app on our phones and we read the reading for that day. And we discuss it in the app. And sometimes we discuss it out of the app. We're like, what in the world? This is like, I got nothing out of this because there's like 550 names in these 600 words. We don't do that very often, thankfully, but we are spending a lot of time in Chronicles right now. So that's a morning routine, right? So what does that look like after that? That morning routine continues, maybe into prayer, maybe into journaling, maybe into exercise, maybe then showering and breakfast. And then, boom, you're off to work. And then what does it look like to go to work? Well, you sit in, and me, I really like to come in and make a little note of all the things I have to do today. That's why I use a planner, but sometimes I don't use it as effectively as I should. That's why I have 25,000 Post-it notes all over my office. And then, well, let's see. It's been 3 days since I've checked my email. I probably should check my email. And then, oh yeah, I forgot to do that thing, and then I forgot to do that thing. So my workday startup routine is what I'm saying is not nearly as good as my morning routine, and it needs to get better. But those are some of the things I'm talking about when I'm talking about routine. And so we definitely have those routines or rituals. Most of us, in fact, have plenty of routines, and stable routines even. Some of us might have a nighttime routine that does not lead us to having good mornings, right? Maybe we watch TV too late, or we eat that midnight snack of ice cream before we go to bed. We just go to bed so tired that we can't even rest well. Most of us, in fact, do have pretty stable routines, though. And so doing the same things in the same order every day, and I bet you haven't probably thought about it because it's so routine. Well, in the 6th century, St. Benedict wrote what we call a rule of life. How many people have heard something called a rule of life? Heard about it at all? Okay, a few of us. So a rule of life is simply a conscious, chosen routine of living The word for rule of life, comes from the Greek word for trellis, actually. So most of us know what a trellis is, right? It's a supporting stand. It's a tool to support the vines that get up off the ground, to get them up off the ground, to bring in more light, to bring in more health. They're more productive, more fruitful vines when they're up on a trellis. And so a rule of life can do the same thing for our time, just like a budget does for our finances even. A rule of life tells our time, really, where to go. And instead of us sitting around wondering where it went or maybe what the next right thing is, we have a rule of life. And so my question for you today is, are you ready to talk about or consider the idea of a rule of life? And that's a rhetorical question because we are going to talk about it. So I should have changed that question. But I do ask that because we've talked about a lot of spiritual practices over the last 12, 15 weeks. Spiritual practices take time, right? You can't sit down for 90 seconds in silence and solitude and get the same thing as 15 or 20 minutes of silence and solitude. So it's an investment of time. Time with God, time with ourselves, time sitting still, being quiet. It takes time in our emotions, right? Processing what we're going through and why we're going through them. Processing with God and what God would have us take out of those things. So one of Jesus' ultimate invitations comes to us in John 15, 4 through 5. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vines, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So I do have a new guide for you tonight. I do have last week's also the journal for practicing spiritual practice of journaling. And so I have a new guide for you to life for the rule of life. I don't know what I just said. I have a new guide for you tonight for the rule of life and to help you craft a rule of life. And so again, that's Celia Miller. And in this guide, she says, "It is only through abiding in Jesus, in walking with him daily in communion and close relationship, that we can live full, flourishing lives. As we learn to abide in him, we are naturally formed into his likeness, our hearts and minds changing to reflect God's own. A rule of life helps us stay close to Christ, becoming a tool that can lead to a lasting fruit, which then leads to a deeper abiding and a deeper way of living with God and with people." So what is a rule of life? When I talk about creating a rule of life, what I'm talking about is intentionally creating a routine in life, a routine that rather than drains you and zaps you every day, it allows you to stay in touch with God in a way and keeps you aware of yourself, your emotions, your feelings, physical and emotional, that you stay in tune with God also. And so what I'm not saying is you're going to walk out of here with the rule of life tonight, because you're not going to do that. I'm hopefully going to get you thinking about some things that might help you develop a rule of life. And you won't even go home tonight and write your entire rule of life out. In fact, Rebecca and I started about 17 months ago, officially, well, maybe even before that, but we're not going to talk about that. This is about y'all, not us. So, and it doesn't have to be something elaborate. So really, I want to ask you two things today. First is that I want you to ask yourself two questions. So the first thing I'm going to say is to ask yourself two questions. Am I okay dancing to the same chaotic, hectic, relentless song the rest of the country is dancing to, the rest of culture is dancing to, the rest of community, colleagues are dancing to? And is it even possible to stay connected to God if and when I'm doing that song and dance? And then the second thing is simply to begin to consider some ways in which you want your song, your dance, your life to be different than it currently is, or than what you see being portrayed in the culture and in society. Because here's the real thing. We never change until we are sick of being where we are. We've got to be sick and tired of where we are to change. We'll never try a new way until our old way stops working. Plain and simple. And so the question then becomes, is your way working for you right now? And there may be an answer to that. Some parts of what you're doing right now is working for you. So we've got to hold on to those things, especially those things directed by God. There's probably some parts of what you're doing that is not working for you all that well and not taking you to the place you want to go and not helping you become the person you want to be. And so we go on to ask ourselves some questions, and you don't have to write these down. Some of these are in Celia's guide and maybe not to the, in the exact same wording, but do you experience God as closely as you'd like to, or is God as real to you as you'd like him to be? Do we live most of our life with a sense of peace, or do we live anxious and hectic, a lot of nervous energy? Do we see fruits coming out of us and we're like, whoa, what is going on, God? Where is this coming from? But thank you, you know. But we can't fully understand or explain them. And so let's just be practical for a moment. 1 year from now, we are going to be a year older, regardless of how we choose to live our lives. And so the question is how we are going to live this next year, right? This is not a New Year's message. And I don't think it needs to be, because I think we need to think about these things outside of New Year's Eve and going into a new year. And so we have to ask our lives, or ask ourselves, will we live more intentionally and more in line with the goals of our life, more in line with the direction God has us going, more in line with the steps that God is ordaining for us in this coming 3 months, 6 months, year, 3 years, however. And so I think in doing that, a rule of life helps us not spend another year just drifting along, honestly, because so many times we just get into, you know, if you're a racing fan, I know Jason and Marisol are and some others, you've heard the term drifting. It's when a race car gets right behind another race car because the wind is being parted, basically, and it makes less friction for the car behind it. And so the car behind can stay up with the car in front without expending as much energy and gas and wear and tear on the tires and the rest of the car. And so we can tend to drift through life on the things that are in place of what we're doing right now. So the things that we're used to doing are cutting a path through the air, and we're drifting along. And so it kind of pulls in. Like if you pull in right behind a semi-truck on the highway and get about 10 feet behind it like Frank Sarabia does, then it will pull you along. The air will pull you along to some degree, and you will use a whole lot less gas. I don't recommend that, but, and neither does Frank. He hasn't actually ever been that close to a semi, when I've been with him at least. So I know I've been asking some hard questions there, and it is on purpose, I promise. And so hopefully every single person in this room has another year to live. But honestly, we don't know that. We're not guaranteed of that. So how are we going to spend it? What will it be come the end of this next 12 months? And so my hope tonight is to help you look at some areas that you might choose to submit to a new rule of life. And so we're going to cover some areas, and Celia's guide breaks it down a little bit more as well. And so one of the questions is what are you sick of, right? What am I sick of doing or not doing in some cases? Are we sick of being in debt? Are we sick of spending every evening in front of the television? Are we sick of not knowing our Bible? Are we sick of never getting together with friends? Are we sick of fear and worry and feeling depressed and sad? Are we sick of the growing disconnect or distance between our spouses or our kids and us? So knowing what we're sick of helps us figure out what we want to change and what we want to make a priority in our life. So, and it can be absolutely anything, right? It has to be about you, though, and not about somebody else. You can't control anybody else. So what are you sick of in your life that you have the power to change? This is about what you can do to step into the stream of grace. We don't want to shame and guilt and feel so unworthy because of this that we don't allow Christ to lead us into a new path, lead us into a new rule of life or anything like that. And so we have to be a little careful and balance that well, but what are you sick of, to me, is a better question than what do we desire, right? What goals do I want to hit this year? What do I want to accomplish in the next 12 months? And those things are important to some degree, but what am I sick of? Asking that question first, it's like, wow, that should really inform some of the changes we're starting to make. So I'm just going to shoot straight with you, okay? Most of the messages that I've preached in this series have been very word-heavy, very scripture-heavy. This one's not so much. In fact, there's probably only two scriptures that I'm going to share with you tonight. One of them I already have. hopefully this is a very practical message that helps you take what the Word has been saying to us, how we're to behold Christ, because even in a rule of life, just like all the other spiritual practices we're talking about, it's about learning to behold Christ in a new way, learning to behold God in the way he wants us to walk toward him. And so while it's not very word heavy tonight, not very many scriptures, in other words, I hope it's a very practical teaching. So do you have a couple ideas what you're sick of? And if so, then you have a starting place. But you also need to ask yourself, what's working for me? And I mentioned this a moment ago. Because you may be doing some really great things and you feel God in the moments, right? You may be sitting down, having coffee, reading your Bible, praying, journaling. You may be doing any of those things or all of those things, singing praise and worship, going down the highway at 85 mile an hour, like I said. Hopefully you slow down to the speed limit. Don't take my example. Those things may be bringing you closer to God. And you may feel it in those moments. So there are things that are working for you. So we do have to ask ourselves that question as well. What am I already doing that helps me grow closer to Christ? But then I'm going to give you some general categories that a rule of life might include. And most of these are in Cecilia's guide as well. I always say Cecilia, and it's not Cecilia, it is Celia. And the first is spiritual life. So general categories for a rule of life is spiritual life. These are things you want to consider under spiritual life. Okay, like, so it would be a bullet point, and like these are the things I want to do to grow my spiritual life, to grow closer to God and things like that. So that might be things like reading scripture, of course, prayer. It might be things like silence or solitude. It might be the daily examine, which we've taught on. It might be taking a Sabbath, which is what we've taught on in the past. Any of the spiritual practices, even some I haven't talked about. There are many besides the ones I've talked about. Might just be study, taking an in-depth study. You know, more focused time of learning, more about God and about yourself. And that might be through books or conferences or videos or Bible studies, audio books, so many things. So the first thing is spiritual life. What do I want to do to grow that, right? And so Psalms, you know, are a great book of prayer, great book of celebration, of praise. Maybe I want to have more of an attitude of Psalms. Maybe I want to pray and grieve and seek the Lord more like David does and the other writers of Psalms, but also maybe I want to praise and celebrate like those same writers. Psalms might be a good place for you to spend some time. Dallas Willard, who's talked a lot about spiritual practices and written some books about spiritual practices and things like that, in talking about silence, and I've said this before, and I don't think I've said it in this particular way, but he talks about silence and how important of a role it plays in all the other disciplines. No matter what we're doing. And he says, silence is frightening because it strips us as nothing else does, throwing us upon the stark realities of our life. It reminds me of death, which will cut us off from this world and leave us only God. That's the reason most people avoid silence. But it's also the reason we need to run to it. The final reality is going to be us and God. Right? God invites us to live in that reality now, though. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. He invites us now to this reality to live with him now and to experience his peace and his joy that is unspeakable. We really can't describe it, but when we're feeling it, we know it. Dallas Willard goes on to say, show me someone who misses God's presence, meaning you don't behold him, you don't recognize him, you don't see him. Show me someone who misses God's presence, and I'll show you someone who is probably not sitting regularly in silence. Because we don't know what we're looking for. We can't recognize God moving within us, within our spirit, within our emotions, within each other, within our church, within our community, because we won't sit still long enough and in silence long enough to let the Lord speak to us and let him prick our heart and let him show us things that we will not otherwise see when we're fully engaged all the time. The next category that I want to mention to you is personal life slash health. And this may look like a lot of different things, and these are going to be general categories. They are not all inclusive, and you don't have to use the exact same things, okay? But personal life and health may include things like Sabbath, which we talked on a couple weeks ago, simplicity, which I have not even talked about, unfortunately, and I really wish I would have, play, recreation are things that might include. You know, simplicity may be the most important spiritual practice next to solitude and silence, I believe. And that's why I regret that I haven't even talked about it. 1 Corinthians 7:35 says, I want you to do, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, that is what it says. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. This is Paul talking to us, right? I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. And I love the way the message says it also. It says, all I want for you is to be able to develop a way of life, a rule of life, a way of life in which you can spend plenty of time together with the Master without a lot of distractions. Without a lot of distractions. And so simplicity involves setting parameters around our time and the time of our family and resources and things like that. It involves not getting bogged down in excessive material possessions or toys or activities. That doesn't mean we don't go out with friends and we don't do things and plan groups and all those things. But it just means we're very intentional with what we do, that it's drawing us closer to the Lord, not taking us away from the Lord, for one. It might also mean deciding just how clean your house needs to be before you have company over. Because some of us feel like it has to be brand new clean before we invite anybody over. So we may spend, I don't know anybody's business here. I'm not talking to anybody specific. So, by the way, so if we spend 3 hours cleaning, and then 3 hours cleaning up, because we have another group coming tomorrow. I feel like I'm talking to some people here in the front from what they're saying and laughing about. You were calling yourself out, guys, not me. yeah, so I lost my place. Y'all messed me up. So simplicity also involves financial. Oh, financial simplicity. Every time we have somebody over, do we go out and spend $100 on refreshments and food? Sorry, Andrea. This is not for you. I was. You won't come back on Wednesday nights at all, will you? So, but where is tithing, right? Not even just financial that way, but are we tithing? Are we practice a simple practice of tithing, returning 10% of our income back to the local church? And this is just a little side note. This is, many of you might know this, and this is not why I'm saying this, but I am the financial guy at the church, right? But the Lord, when I gave my life to Christ back at 26, I had never tithed in my life. I gave my life to the Lord when I was 14 at a small Southern Baptist church in Oklahoma. Authentic experience, lived the life well for about 6 months. And then other things happened. And so when I recommitted my life at 26, got married to Rebecca, a month or two after recommitting my life, we started tithing. She didn't know anything else. She grew up tithing. Her parents made her tithe. Instilled that tithing into her. I didn't know any different. I was new back to Christ, and I was like, oh, whatever, okay. And so I never questioned it. And so, you know, a couple of years go by, actually a year goes by, we move back to Oklahoma, and I'm doing a lot of work remodeling a house that we're buying from my mom and dad. We're living in a house that her mom and dad have. And so I'm working some weeks 10 hours a week, some weeks 15 or 18, 20 hours a week, sometimes a full week, but most of the time not, so that I can remodel our house, which took 6 months, by the way, instead of 6 weeks like the plan was. But a good friend of mine that I knew outside of work that helped me get this job, he's like, how in the world do you take off so much? I mean, you're putting all this money into the house. How are you even paying your bills? And I'm like, I don't know, dude. Because you put it on paper, it doesn't work. I mean, there's about twice as much money that's still needed than what we have when you put it on paper. But I told him, we tithe. And so I don't have to figure it out on paper. I trust God that he's going to provide. And honestly, I still look back to those times and I'm like, how in the world did we make it? How in the world did we do this? And I still don't know the answer except that we tithe. And we're not, I'm not tooting my own horn here. Tithing is one of the, is the only place in the Bible where the Lord says to test him. And anyway, so I'm going to move on. I'm not saying that because I'm the financial guy at the church, that I take care of the business of the church. But if you're not tithing, you're missing out on a blessing of God. And not just one blessing. It's not just a financial blessing. It's a generosity of spirit. Okay, I really am moving on. Sorry. Because when you're generous, when we're generous with our finances, we're generous with our time, we're generous with our heart, we're generous with our resources. I'm running out of time. Okay, a couple of other things. Play and recreation also fall under the next thing, or not the next thing, but the previous thing, personal life and health. So play, recreation also falls under this category. Obviously, rest. You know, it's easy to grab a movie and watch it thinking it's restful, but oftentimes we feel more depleted when it's over, especially at home. That might be different. Maybe you go out to dinner and then go to a movie theater. Maybe that's a night out and that's refreshing. Costs more money, right? So where's the balance in that? But ultimately, it's more time sitting in front of the tube if that's what we're already feeling like we have too much of. So maybe just do a little advanced planning. Do it with the spouse. Do it with your family. Do it with close friends. Even my wife, who is, I'm going to tell on her, is an introvert, she gets depleted by people. She loves people, but she gets depleted by people. Her energy reserves drain pretty quickly. I generally am filled up and energized with people, and that's why it takes me till 10:30 at night on Wednesdays to go to sleep, because I'm energized by being around people. And so what are those things that restore us? That's something that we need to go. We talked about that in the Sabbath also, so I won't go much into that. And that was just a few weeks ago. So the next category I want to talk about, because I know I'm going to run out of time, is work and activity. So work and activity, of course, it involves work, right? It's in the name. A job, career, whatever. It also involves service, right? Mission. Like if you're volunteering at the church, this is part of this work and activity category. And these categories are not arbitrary, obviously. So caring for your physical body could be under work and activity. But you know what? Caring for your physical body could be in the last one, which is under health. You choose. If you don't like working out, then working out is probably under work or activity. If you like working out, then it might be under the health category. So you get to choose. But I love to read. So for me, it's easy for reading to go under prayer and rest. But some of you, it might be work to read a book. So you choose where it goes. So under service and mission also, you would have things like serving the poor, you know, bridging cultural and racial and economic barriers, or working for justice in the environment, or world missions, things like that. And then the final category I want to talk to you about tonight is relationships. And so here you would start with your relationship with yourself, of course. Ultimately, God, we know that. That's always first. But then within ourselves, because God wants us to talk to us about that relationship as well. But how are we maintaining our emotional health? How are we increasing our emotional intelligence? Meaning we know what we're feeling. How do we recognize what we're feeling and know what that is? That's emotional intelligence. So this might involve reading up on certain things that has been bothering you. It might be reading a book about anxiety if you suffer with anxiety. It might be journaling that we talked about last week. It might be choosing to see a counselor or meet regularly with a more mature, close friend who can help you work through some stuff. It might be going to Celebrate Recovery. It might be doing many, many other things. Also in this category, of course, is family. You know, how will we choose to become a better parent or better friend or better daughter, son, brother, sister? And so again, we're asking ourselves, am I sick of any of these things that need to be changed? And if I am, these are things that might go in our role of life. Or sick of not doing certain things, these might go in our role of life. And so then last under relationships is your relationship with community. And so since we're in church, right, I want to talk about it from that aspect. What's your relationship like with the church? Are you allowing people to know you and become part of your life? Are you making yourself available to invest in other people? And are you just waiting around for someone to invite you in to community? Someone else to take the initiative? The question is, who are your companions on the journey in life and in the spiritual life also? Are there people in your life that you allow to ask some difficult questions, that allow you to ask you the questions you don't want to answer? And you'll answer them. So, I've been guilty of this. Do we only want people to love us when it's convenient for us? Do we only want people to invite us? Do we only want to invest in people when it's convenient for us? Or do we want to love people even when it's inconvenient? So in our communities, in our relationships, in our friendships, are we investing in them in ways that put us out? And can people ask things of us where we felt put out? But we love them, and we serve them, and we befriend them, and we don't do it out of obligation. Although that is part of it, right? Reciprocity is part of it because they love us the same way. So where are we in the rule of life for relationships? And so that's another big question to ask. And I would dare say that might be a major category to go over and spend some time in. Ultimately, the rule of life is about choosing to live intentionally in ways that keep us connected to ourselves, keep us connected to our life, to God in our life, to our relationships, our family, friends, colleagues, and even the needs of the world around us. What helps us stay tuned in, not to the news of the world, but to the needs of the world? We have a part to play. So often, I'm going to get on my poverty and injustice box for just a moment, because that's one thing that Rebecca and I believe in and we fight for and we give to. It's part of our additional giving. $5 to a family in Uganda. We sponsor children in Uganda. $5 to a family in Uganda might mean 3 days worth of rice. Might mean a week's worth of rice. We tend to think if we can't solve world hunger, then what we can do is not enough. Sometimes we think that if we can only do $20 or $40 or $100. But it's simply not true. It's just perspective. That also was not in the thing. But we've got to think outside of our current structure of who we are and what we know into the kingdom of God spiritually, and then into the kingdom of God physically and emotionally. What can we do with what we have, with the resources that God has provided, time, energy, money, financials, friends, all of that? What can we do to invest into the kingdom of God? Those are things we have to think about. We made the decision long ago, and we're not as great at doing it anymore, although we still don't give money. So people on the street corners and stuff, we made a decision long ago, we will not give money to people like that, that are seeking money like that. But we will try to keep water in the car, and we will try to keep a fiber bar in the car of some sort, or a protein bar or something. We don't keep that stuff in the car very often anymore. A, it gets 185 degrees in our cars in Texas. That's not an excuse. We need to refigure out what that looks like, to be honest with you. That's a margin that we put in place. That's a rule of life. That's something that needs to be on our rule of life. This is what we're going to do when people approach us about money. We've made a conscious decision that we support, outside of tithing and things like that, we support three major organizations: Compassion International, International Justice Mission, which is poverty and then justice, and then Danita's Children in Haiti. And so those are the three things. When the sheriff's office calls us and asks us to support the sheriff's organization to help them, no, I'm sorry, we have the things we support. Thank you for your offer. Thank you for asking, but no. Not that there aren't other great organizations. We don't say it has to be the three that we're supporting, but choose the things you're going to support. Choose the things you're going to resource. Those are the things that go in our rule of life. And so, as we've talked a lot about spiritual practices, and even tonight mentioned a lot, what do you want to take into your rule of life? And do you even want to pursue a rule of life? Your day may be so laid out already, and it's perfect, and God has it just like you would, like he would have it. Are there other ways that you can look at the rule of life outside of a physical, these are the things I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it, like resources, giving, time, things like that? Okay, so I know it's been a little heavy tonight, sorry, but I hope this rule of life helps bring some of these things together that we've talked about over the last 3 months. And so next week, as I mentioned, is going to be the final week of the Behold series, and so I'm going to do a little bit more wrap-up. It's not going to be quite as heavy, I promise. And so some reviewing and reflecting, so I want you to bring your journals, your Behold journal, or a different journal, because we're going to be writing a decent amount. We will have some blank paper if you don't have a journal or a spiral notebook or something like that that we will give you. And so we're just going to be taking a little bit of time, and I'm going to be asking you a few specific questions to think through how God wants you to start beholding him, because your way of beholding him is not my way of beholding him, and vice versa. We are all going to have different ways of pursuing and tuning into God than each other. So beholding God ultimately is about intentional awareness and recognition of how God is moving. He's always present in our lives. The Holy Spirit is driving our search for the truth, our search for this connection with God. We know that. And so whatever tools we choose to pick out to deepen our relationship with God, as long as we're willing to listen to what's happening inside of us, to be honest and remain open to the nudge of the Spirit, right? Pastor always talks about the nudge of the Spirit. The Spirit guides us. Are we open and honest about what's happening inside of us? And when we respond to him, are we responding out of those things he's bringing up in us and teaching us? So, okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, for tonight. We thank you for all the things we've been learning and looking at in your word, Father, the things that you want us to do, the way you want us to pursue you, Father. And it's about so much more than just an action or reading the Bible in a certain way versus a different way. Lord, it's about tuning in to our personalities the way you created us to be, so that we can pursue you most honestly and most thoughtfully and most deeply, Lord, because we all have different ways that feed us at different times of our life even. So, Father, we just thank you that you are working in us to help us to pursue you on a deeper level and in different ways maybe than we ever have before. So, Lord, we just thank you that as we leave here tonight, that you will impression upon us what you would like for us to do. Are there things in our life that you would like for us to change? Are there things in our life that you would like to adapt, like us to adapt so that we grow closer to you, and even things that we want to get rid of, Father? Show us the things you want us to be intentional about, Father, but also help keep us simple. Lord, help us keep it simple, because so often we come up with these grand plans of all these changes and we don't know how to do it all, and we can't do it all, Father. So help us keep our relationship with you simple, Father, but not shallow, God. So we just thank you for all these things. And I just pray that you bless us as we go and help us to glorify you in all that we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.